Here's Sports Radio 105 The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Block shot. Anthony Towns came over the top. This is what you face when you're playing Kentucky. You go in, you think you have a little crease, and then this happens.
I definitely hope they have fear coming in. We've been trying to impose our will in the block and make sure that the paint is ours. We just try to make sure that every time we try to protect the paint at all costs.
Love him.
D-Block, when you get to my Duke dog, you and your Kentucky cat, I mean, you can only hope to stay up with my guy from Duke. Your guy, you know, I read the email that you sent me.
It was an email. It was an article on ESPN.com. That means it's real.
And you know what? It sounds great. You know, it's a great article, and he's a great kid. You can just tell that...
needs to be a wolf.
That cat... Cat Town.
Kitty
Cat, yep. Cat Town is a good guy. He's a good guy, but I mean, that doesn't win any basketball games against Duke.
But here's the thing. He's such a great player. His ambition growing up was NBA's tallest two guard. He can shoot the three. He's got a beautiful shot. He can play defense. He runs just like Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine do. In New Jersey in high school, he was the best long-range shooter. He's amazing. He's a prodigy. Guaranteed scholarship offers in dozens of big-time colleges, acted like he was the last man on the bench, wants to become a kinesiologist someday. He's smart. Might want to open up a hospital in the Dominican Republic.
Gee.
He was quoted before the season by Kentucky Sports Reporter saying he treats everyone equally. Quote, I treat everyone as if they were LeBron James. Get him. The big man with the big game has an even bigger heart, is what the article said.
Yeah, I mean, I read the whole thing. I mean, he's a very nice kid.
Uh-huh.
Nice doesn't always win, though, and it's not going to... I hope it's enough to beat Duke, because I have Kentucky to win the whole thing.
Mm.
But, our other guy from Duke, I mean, the Duke dog is the way to go. That's the way I see it. And so that's, you know, and that's probably the way it is, too.
To
be honest with you, what I'm thinking is probably the way it is.
No, it's not true.
What you're thinking
is
probably
moving.
Is not true.
No, it's not true at all. You're not true. Are you real? Are you even a real person? Why are you so cantankerous with me all of a sudden? From the beginning of the show today. No, seriously, but Cat is what we're calling it. Cat and Joe.
It's because they're so big, and we don't want to jinx them because we really want them here with the Timberwolves.
I was talking with Sean, who feeds us here at Hubert's, where we are, by the way, until 7 o'clock tonight. He said we were talking about the same thing. He goes, what do you think? Which one? That's the new talker, watching March Madness. Which one? If the Minnesota Timberwolves have the number one or number two overall selection, which one do you take?
Yeah.
And everybody is starting to move my way, which is great. I want Kitty Cat on the team.
I think I know which one I would go with, but it's not either of those two. Someone bigger, take up more paint, and I think probably Tushy Banuski is my guy. Tushy Banuski.
He plays football, though.
Oh.
He's Polish. Babatunde Agabadusi.
Yeah.
I think I saw him earlier today. There was a guy here with, I want to say a 74-inch waist, or what do you call it? Is that inches?
Yes.
As I wear, like, a 32. Is that a 70? Is that inches?
Yes.
72 inches around?
Yes. Wow. You saw him. So you saw...
Gabadugadushki.
Tuch Banuch.
Bagabadushkis.
I think it's the Duke dog. I definitely do. You know what? I hope the guy just dominates when they get into that championship game against Duke. Let's hope that...
Case. No, in Kentucky, you're in the championship game. You and I are going to put down a serious bet.
Okay.
About which guy is going to be better.
Individual stats?
Yeah, just individual stuff.
Do you think... Yeah, I mean, really now. Be honest about this one. Do you really think that Duke can get past Michigan State?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Duke has an easier chance of getting into the championship game than Kentucky does.
Wisconsin. I agree with that.
Wisconsin with Decker and Kaminsky and Bo Ryan, unbelievable. Yeah. We'll talk about with Sam Ekstrom, our cold Omaha writer from 105theticket.com, coming up at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
The loss to the Minnesota Gophers, the springboard for the Michigan State's Final Four run. And he said a lot of great things in that article saying, all right, who do they have on their team? You name any players? Have any stars? Anybody that carries a load for this?
I college basketball, name for name, school for school, I just don't.
But you can name Tyus Jones. You can name the who shall not be named. You can name Justice Winslow. That's all from Duke. You can name Kaminsky. You can name Decker from Wisconsin. You can name the who shall not be named number two from Kentucky.
Correct.
Colley Stein. You know players from these other teams. You have no idea who any of these players are from Michigan.
I don't think you have to know them to think that they might get in there because they have out. I think they've overachieved this year a little bit. I mean, I think they've far exceeded their potential. But an Izzo-led team, but at this time every year, I mean, Izzo just does a great job helping a team advance through the tournament. That's what he does.
A lot. Double A March Madness bracket that we do. We do two of them, one with Vike fans and the other at 105theticket.com. I couldn't pick them because they lost to the lowly Gophers in overtime. It was like, how can a team lose to the Gophers and then yet make this valiant run, being a 7 seed to the Final Four against Duke?
Yeah, I think they took a slight, and I think Sam Ekstrom is right. You mentioned the Cold Omaha writer that has written an article, I think a very pointed article, about what that was for Michigan State at the time was a lightning bolt, and it actually has jump-started this team, Michigan State, to a point now where they're in the Final Four, and they look strong to me. I mean, I really do think they look really like a strong team, a true contender to be able to compete against Duke.
How much pride do you think the Big Ten has? Because the Big Ten is always the conference that is, you know, kind of the flyover country. Of course, with Ohio State, and we could just go on and on. Nebraska now, and Maryland, Rutgers all added to the business. Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa. They're always kind of, the GOAT. And now they have two out of the four teams in the Final Four.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty amazing this time around. And I don't think anyone expected Michigan State to make a run like this. They were just not that dynamic all season long, and they had it on cruise control, I guess, because now they are playing for keeps, and when they play for keeps, I don't know what it is that Izzo says in practice, what sort of preparation he has in practice, what he says in that locker room before games, adjustments that he makes against teams that I think are probably clearly better than they are, but they always find a way to advance. And it's just a good, but I, to answer your question, I think it's a great year for the Big Ten. It's normally, you think of the Big Ten, you think football. I do. I mean, they hold their own in football, no question.
Yeah.
The SEC, typically known as the most dominant in football, but I think with this year's Ohio State, and there are some up and coming teams that you always have to deal with. Wisconsin, always.
Michigan
usually.
Michigan State. Iowa's always tough. Nebraska's always tough.
You just think football when you think Big Ten. And the Big Ten's taken some big hits in football, too. I mean, the SEC's kind of owned it. But just recently, and of course with Ohio State being the national champions, they get the bragging rights. But basketball, you're right. This is really cool to see two teams representing in the Final Four.
How does it make you feel that the Gophers beat a Final Four team this year? I mean, does that make you feel better about what the Gopher men's basketball team has been doing?
I feel more like it was a Michigan State nap. I feel more like they just went to sleep. And we had some players that step up to it. Carlos Morris, I mean, in the article that Sam wrote, I mean, we had some great, we had some really competitive players that worked through playing basketball. They had more in their tank, and they wanted to finish strong, and they did. And that was a heck of a win. I mean, that had to have been their best win of the season.
Oh, for sure.
So, no, but I still think it's more of a case of them taking a night off. I really feel that way.
It was a tough game, though. I mean, they took them to overtime.
Yeah, I know it. But I just think that Michigan State probably is a much, much, much better team than what we had lined up this year. And look, you win it, so that's all you need right there. You were good enough to beat them, and that's all that matters. You know, it's their fault if they didn't show up to play.
Vikings have made a move today. They have signed a quarterback, Mike Kafka. I always loved him on Madden. That's the only way I know about him. He was a former fourth-round draft pick. He played for the Patriots and the Eagles. Hasn't played a down in the NFL since 2011. They signed him today. Now we have Ted Bridgewater.
Sean Hill?
Sure. No.
As far as I know.
No.
Well, he's on the team, isn't he?
No.
Where did Oakland. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he
was in
Oakland. And then
that's Kafka. Right. I remember that finally did happen.
So does that bar the Minnesota Vikings from taking a quarterback late in the rounds in the draft coming up at the end of the month in Chicago? Because there have been rumors that the Vikings would be interested in getting another young arm later in the round so you could possibly groom him and then, you know, have a pretty good backup quarterback and maybe, if you know, trade him somewhere down the road and get something out of him if he's good enough.
I would think that, you know, I mean, that's very possible still, very likely still, if something is just sitting there waiting. I'd be able to, if there was a good quarterback. But a Kafka must show Norv Turner something. And I like his chances to improve as a quarterback if he played through Norv. And I definitely like the that you put with Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater is going to help anyone that comes in. And he welcomes competition. And he knows that probably brings him to his highest level.
Yeah.
Sean Hill will do butter a little bit. I'm not looking at him to do anything, but Sean Hill is no slouch. He can play football, and he's got a lot of years on Bridgewater, and he will show him the ropes. And that's what Sean's job is, and he knows that coming in here. But he will have to show Bridgewater the way and help him get the reads right. And he's played some for Norv, so he already knows what's going to be in that playbook. But I think it's a good one too with Bridgewater and a guy like Sean Hill. I really do, because Sean's a great. Kind of a leader and just an unselfish kind of player. I really think that's going to help us.
The Vikings are hosting a tight end. It kind of almost looks like Ushki Bushki. His brother, name-wise, Emmanuel Agi Gabushki.
So Gabushki 2.
Ushki Bushki. Ike Buhi, I believe is how you say his name.
Where do we find him?
B-U-E-H-I.
Huh.
E-I-E-I-O.
No.
We haven't signed him yet. He's just visiting. He took part in the Veterans Combine a couple weeks ago in Phoenix.
We got plenty of tight ends. I'll say that much. But if the guy can come in and contribute, maybe he's one of those roughneck kind of guys that you put in the backfield and come off the ball and make some room for a running back. Who knows? Play a little fullback, little H-back, as we call it back. The H-back has basically disappeared, but I think that any help, whatever backs we're going to have around here, I'm 50 back.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up Adrian Peterson, and I'm surprised it took us this long to talk about it. We should have gotten into it right away, but Tony Romo restructured his contract with the Dallas Cowboys.
Then there we go.
And do you know how much money it freed up?
If Tony, he's a team player.
He's on the books for $1 million. Others have seen. All of the money that he's getting paid will be to a massive cap hit the year after he retires. He'll get all this money from the Dallas Cowboys. It's interesting because Adrian Peterson owed $12.75 million this year for the Minnesota. Dallas Cowboys cleared $12.8 million today.
That's funny how that works out. I don't know what they would possibly want to do with that money.
$12.8 million.
See, they would still have some money left over after that. 12.75 would go into 12.8, right? It would be just right.
Carries one and do the thing. I'm not very good at math, but yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
That would be just enough, right?
Yeah.
So I like the way you can restructure that word restructure in a contract with a guy like a marquee player like Tony Romo who has an enormous deal in play all over the place. But it's funny how they can make it count against things, and they can still get paid with incentives and bonuses and different clauses in the worth virtually the same thing. Greenway signed almost the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He turns around and finds himself at half season games most of the time, and it's $500,000 every time he does it. So that's pretty good. And so he's gonna line up about $2 or $3 million if he stays out there on the field. And that's Greenway.
Yeah.
But now Tony. You can keep it out of the books by doing it that way. No player would sign that initially with a base contract. You have the money up front and get guaranteed money, then restructure later. And if the owner likes you, I'm sure Jerry Jones loves Tony Romo, then, you're good to go. And Jerry's probably going to say, look, wink, wink, I'll take care of you after you're done. I'll take it.
Well, it'll happen because of that dead money after the contract. But they're basically doing, and they're going to be screwed when these guys, when they restructure all these veteran players that they have in the Dallas Cowboys. They also re-signed Rolando McClain today down there in Dallas. And so they're just going to be in cap hell like their dynasty was done. It took them so many years to get back to legitimacy. But interesting, $12.8 million freed up for the Dallas Cowboys today, where Adrian Peterson...
Really?
Adrian Peterson, we're 12.75. We got to take a break.
Well, let's do that. Let's take a little break. First of all, I should tell you that it's Wolves Wednesday down here at Hubert's, brought to you by Killebrew. Ground Lager flavor for it. It's on tap right now here at Hubert's. Stop on by. Say hi to the Radioactive Sports crew. Next up, well, we're going to talk Twins. Down to it and talk on the screen right now. And we're watching a little bit from last season. Hopefully they can come back and do a little better than that. But I think we can talk a little Twins baseball and like it. I can smell the grass from here, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great.
Let's take a break.
That's grass. You say grass, you mean weed?
Yeah.
Somebody smoking weed. Okay.
I think so. Anyway, but we're out of here. So let's come on back and talk a little Twins baseball on Radioactive Sports.
Get your Twins Inside Update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berardino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Paul Molitor is not looking to skip the fifth rotation spot.
You don't really need that guy if you keep, say, Phil Hughes on a every fifth day turn. And he said he's not tempted to do that. He likes what he's seen out of the fifth spot.
Hardball with Mike Berardino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutraDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
This guy's huge, man. Great character. He smiles all the time and speaks really good English. So I told him, man, learn English, keep your teeth white. And I definitely think that you'll be a guy that can market in this organization.
As only Tory Hunter can put it, like Kenny's Marcus. Keep your teeth white.
Yeah, just keep smiling, keep your teeth white, learn some English, and you're good to go. But Kenny Marcus really, when you think about it, as much as people love Big Poppy. And he talked about in that little segment, we didn't have enough time to play all of it, but he talked about Kenny Vargas being the next David Ortiz. Not necessarily because he said... Beast, but he David is. Ortiz, and he, Torrey Hunter would, no, he played with David Ortiz at the Metrodome before Ortiz went to the Boston Red Sox, but Kenny Vargas, he won the game for me today on MLB The Show. I know that means nothing. It's a video yesterday, came out yesterday, been playing on the... He had to stay up a little bit late last night. Had to miss my workout.
You played
this morning
all the way through, didn't you?
Because I was so tired and I had to get up. I wanted to make sure I got a game in. Ended up beating the Detroit Tigers the first game of the season, 4-3, just
good
so you know.
For you, man.
So I see good things coming for the Minnesota Twins. But opening day, Monday, just a couple of days away, and Major League Baseball, I know you watch the NFL Network like it's going out of style.
I do, I love it.
I flip back and forth between that and MLB Network right now because the Twins are coming. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day. I'm feeling baseball. And there are three guys, John Smoltz, you know, for Hall of Famer, by the way.
Well, yeah. He's different.
Along with Al Leiter, Dan O'Dowd. They were talking about the Minnesota Twins, and we'll get into it pretty deep here as we get on and we talk about Hardball coming up at 5:30. But there are a couple of things that I want to play, audio clips from MLB Network that I want to play, and I want you to comment on them and tell me what you think. The first one being reestablishing the culture of winning.
I think the hardest thing for a club that has lost years in a row is to reestablish a culture of the expectation of winning. I think the Twins bringing Torrey Hunter back is to remind those young players that they were great and they can be great again.
You couldn't hit it more on the head than that. I've played for teams that have won year in, year out, and then gone into a slump with a bad group of players that come through and they tank about 3 or 4 years, 5 years in a row. And then I end up on the next team that is trying to change all that. I had that here. And when I came in with Burnsy, he was kind of on his last leg and didn't want to really, he was tired. He was just a tired coach and had coached forever. And we went 8-8. And what most guys on the team that I played for in 1990 here, didn't know is that was the best season I'd ever had. The whole time I'd been in the NFL. I mean, I'd been on four different, you know.
Browns, Patriots, Kansas City, Seattle.
And the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Wow. And you hadn't had a winning season.
Not once. And I'm telling you what, just the feeling for me to be around a group of guys who are probably underachievers in most regards, because you could go all the way up and down either side of the ball, offense, defense. They were very good football players. A lot of them are Hall of Fame players, and a lot of them were in the Pro Bowl year in, year out. But they just couldn't win games. But they did have an air about them. They did have a vibe in that locker room. We won 8 games, and they weren't even really hitting on all cylinders. But I know what he's talking about, and that's exactly the way it is. It takes the right group. They have to roll in there at the same time, and you have to keep them signed and sealed and on the field for things to change. You have to have the right guys, though. I mean, if you're going to try and get a bunch of guys that don't play ball very well and trying to tell them and get it through their head that winning is the only thing, they're trying, but they just aren't that good. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can try to tell them. They believe in the culture of winning and accountability and everything. Just no talent. They make too many mistakes. Mm. How are you going to win with that group? They don't have a chance.
Yeah. Well, we said the same thing about the Minnesota Timberwolves, and at the beginning of the season when they looked good, when they had their veteran lineup before everybody got injured, that we were talking about the same exact thing, saying, okay, they have some talent here, but do they know how to win? They need that leader that teaches them how to win. And you look around the diamond and the outfield for the Minnesota Twins, Oswaldo Arcia. He's 23 years old, only played for the Minnesota Twins, never won.
Yep.
Jordan Schaefer, Shane Robinson comes from the St. Louis Cardinals organization, but he's not one of those leader guys that's been there, done that. You've seen him in an All-Star game.
Oh, yeah.
Torrey Hunter is that guy in right field. He's 39 years old. That's a big reason why they brought him up here. Joe Mauer, does he remember what it's like to play in the Metrodome, being the MVP and going to the playoffs constantly? Kurt Suzuki played for the Oakland A's. It's a winning franchise. He bounced around a little bit in Major League Baseball. Trevor Plouffe only played for the Minnesota Twins. Danny Santana, so young, his first full season here in Major League Baseball. Brian Dozier only played with the Minnesota Twins. He's in the mid to upper 20s. I mean, these guys have never won outside of Torrey Hunter, really, when you think about it. And then you go to the rotation. Phil Hughes has won, but he's never been part. He's never been, I think he had one good season for the New York Yankees. The other times, he was always kind of the anchor. When I say anchor, he was the one that was kind of bringing them down. Not the anchor like CeCe Sabathia was.
They were sinking because of him.
Irvin Santana has won some. I mean, he played in Kansas City when they weren't the greatest. He played last year in Atlanta when they didn't have their best year. Ricky Nolasco played for the Florida Marlins. I think he was traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers and might have played some playoff baseball or close to that. But you need these veteran guys that we're paying lots of money to step forward and say, guys, here's the deal. The Twins have lost 90-plus games these last four seasons, but this is a different deal here.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming in here.
Oh, yeah.
We've spent some money. And we're playing to win. We're back to the Piranhas. Not necessarily that they're they have the speed or they do some of the things of the Piranhas, but they're playing Twins baseball again.
Yeah.
With that bounce in their step, doing the little things right, playing defense, getting the singles, not necessarily hitting home runs like crazy, not striking out, taking walks, doing the little things that matter to win ball games.
Attention
because
to detail.
Because we're not the Twins aren't a Los Angeles Dodgers or a New York Yankees team where they spend tons of money and bring these all-star home run hitter guys. Look at the lineup. I mean, they're all hitting for average type of guys.
The highest is about 286. Torrey Hunter. I mean, Joe hit 277 last year. I mean, but the fact is those two guys, when you bring those two guys in with the experience that they've had and some of the winning they've had in their backgrounds, in their careers, you bring them in with a bunch of guys, new guys that also are talented. They have talent and you talk to them. And you make them understand that what is expected of them is basically follow me, do what I do, and don't mess up, and everything's going to be just fine. That's what you need. If they've got talent, they have a good chance to win.
Yeah, and notice the fact that we haven't even talked about Joe Mauer. Really, when we talk about the Minnesota Twins, we never really mention Joe Mauer, except the fact that he's the albatross around the neck of the Minnesota Twins. And this MLB Network that Sam's going to play back at the radio station echoes the fact that they've been talking and they were doing these things. They were talking for about 5 minutes, and at the end of the conversation, they go, wait a second. I haven't even mentioned Joe Mauer, so play that clip, and then we'll discuss that.
We just spent a chunk of time talking about the Minnesota Twins and did not mention their highest-paid player, who they owe over $90 million to over the next 4 years, Joe Mauer. What does that say?
Well, for me, what it says, if you don't add specifically to the culture and fabric of your clubhouse day in and day out, then you need to perform. And with the money they're paying him, he needs to perform for them. It takes so much pressure off all of those other younger players.
Yeah, a former batting crown in the American League, Joe Mauer.
I mean, I don't know how much more. Those are two of the best sound bites we've had regarding Twins baseball that I've heard in a long
time. More to come at 5:30, by the way.
And I'm telling you, that is so spot on. The guys that you see as the stars, and they get paid that way and handsomely in baseball. And we were talking about this a little bit outside before we started the show. And this is a pretty good living. I mean, this is guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. You have got to show up. I don't really care what kind of pain you're in either. I don't care. I really mean that. Like, you have to play. And you know what? You better put some numbers up. And I don't care about the shift. I don't care about the shift. You better find out if you're any kind of ball player. If you're worth $23 million, you better counter the shift and go the other direction. I don't care if you're supposed to be the batting champion of all time, which, you know, we tend to over-exaggerate, you know, players, especially the ones from here. Mm-hmm. You better find a way to get something to fall in fair, and you better start, circling the bases a little
bit. But what's the incentive for Joe Mauer, like the guys from the MLB Network just said? $90 million the next 4 years, guarantee. Nobody's going to trade for him because he makes so much money and doesn't produce.
He's here.
They cut him. He still gets his money. They send him down to the minor leagues. He still gets his money. I mean, there's
no way out.
None.
And no one, I don't think any of us would have expected that when he signed that, that he was going to trade. Anyone thought that he was going to sit down and not play games and, you know, this injury, that injury? I didn't see that coming. I know he had nicks that would keep him out of the lineup for a week or so, 2 weeks, but it has been embarrassingly bad for Joe Mauer.
Well, he had his MVP-type season, one of the last seasons, if not the last season,
it was the
Metrodome.
The last one, yeah.
And perfect timing because that's when his contract was coming due. And so you had to pay him.
Into a new stadium? Are you kidding me? Yeah.
We're getting this new stadium. We're going to spend money. That's from the poll ads of Minnesota Twins. So you can't let Joe Mauer walk. But I thought the contract was a little bit too long, in my opinion, when it was signed.
Was that
tons
six,
of money?
Seven? 7 years at like one blah blah blah.
I don't remember
God
the exact
knows.
Number, but it was god awful.
$23 million a year. That's what it works out to. And the soundbite that we just played. You have got to play. And when you can find yourself talking about Twins baseball for 25-30 minutes of a commentary discussing the future of the Twins, and you don't bring up the name of Joe Mauer, something's really wrong with that picture. Anyway, that's kind of how it rolls around here, and we should also let you know that what's rolling down Ben Holson's throat right now is
it was 8 years, $184 million total, by the way.
8 years.
Thanks to Sam. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Ben's been drinking already. The Honey Brown Lager flavor of Northlake Beer. I'm having a Killebrew because I'm in the baseball mood, and I'm drinking a little Harmon Killebrew old-fashioned root beer. And you can step on down here. Both are on tap. Both are on sale right here at Hubert's, down here at Target Center.
And we'll be sampling later on today. Sampling.
Later? When's later for you?
Like 5-10 minutes from now.
You mean you'll have another one a little bit later?
Yeah.
Come on back, everybody. 4.5 questions. He made up the bid. I don't even know what it is. I don't even understand it. We'll do that next here at Radioactive Sports.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better P-test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
If you're one of the millions of people addicted to April Fool's Day pranks, help has arrived at the April Fool's Day Treatment Center.
I will not cover toilet seats with saran wrap.
Here you'll receive the kind of specialized treatment needed to break the cycle of practical joke addiction.
I will not fill soap dispensers with crazy glue.
Call today for a free evaluation.
I will not call the airport and page Michael Hunt.
And let the healing begin.
I'm surprised you haven't pulled any April Fool's jokes on me. Of all the people that I know, you are the biggest prankster. Have you done anything today to anybody?
No, but it's a lot of day left.
Yeah.
There's a lot of day left, and I have several plans for several people.
Oh.
I'm the world's worst.
I know you are.
I got a great imagination.
worries
oh,
me.
Oh, but I like that thing about putting super glue in the freaking hand dispenser. That's a great idea. I didn't just say that. Kids, no, no, no.
I heard one this morning that said people used to put golf balls in cereal boxes. That would make no sense, though, to me. I don't really get you. So you pour your cereal in the bowl and golf balls.
What?
But there's got to be a weight difference. You would notice.
Of course you would. That's dumb.
People are
I've had some good ones, though. That's some pretty fun ones. Once I had an app that I could play a phone call, and someone would answer the phone, and the app would answer periodically based on just sort of timing and rhythm on different things that was being, he was asking questions. The app would ask questions. The other person would keep answering where the phone call went, and it would just continue to antagonize and persisted on just irritating the person that
are you pranking me right now, because I did that to Bob and got in a lot of trouble because he couldn't take it. Is that why?
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
It was hilarious.
He cried about it like a little girl for a long time.
I got in trouble with the boss because of it. I thought it was hilarious. Pranks are funny as long as they're not hurting anybody. It
honestly,
hurt him.
Funniest thing I've ever seen or heard in my entire life. A, the actual recording of what you played to him. I don't know how that works anyway, but that was a pretty cool app.
Prankdial.com, by the way. You can download the app. It's awesome.
Number two, his reaction to it is priceless. And I had no idea that a full-grown man could be such a sissy. I just didn't think so.
I thought it was funny.
He threw a fit over it. Then you got in trouble, which was even funnier because the prank backfired on you. You got so much trouble. I love it. I used to get in trouble all the time for pranks. You're in the club, man. You're in the club.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, the last time. Well,
I didn't really take the trouble seriously, though. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm getting in trouble for this? What are we, in third grade? But anyway, we don't have a ton of time. Four and a half questions.
Yeah.
April Fools. Yesterday, one of the newest mock drafts, there were hundreds, by the way, had the Minnesota Vikings selecting Washington defensive tackle Danny Shelton.
Okay.
Though the Vikings have been rumored to really like the run stuffer, who can also collapse the pocket in the middle. Got a pretty aggressive reaction saying that that would be the dumbest thing the Vikings could ever do, and that you'd stop being a Vikings fan if they took defensive tackle that high in the first round.
Correct.
You and I both agree that the defensive line probably the only thing that doesn't need help on the Minnesota Vikings at this moment anyway. What other positions would you hate the Vikings to target in the first round of the NFL draft? Quarterback?
Quarterback would make no sense. Although, I mean, who's out there right now? Oh, God. Jameis Winston, no. And Mariota, no. I like my guy right now.
Yep.
I would be pissed off if they took a quarterback of those two who are considered the top two. Oh, no. I'll take Ted. Mm-hmm. Ted Bridgewater. I guess I would have a fit over. I think you have to address need at this point. And I don't think it should be a wide receiver right now. I just don't.
Being a Vikings fan if they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Because
one of those three guys, you know you're going to get a pretty good player, a really good player. Any of those three receivers are about the same guy.
I can't believe you said
you
would quit being a Vikings fan if they drafted
Danny
Shelton.
I'm done.
That's
I'm done. Yeah, I'm going to go for the Packers.
No, stop it. But literally, the interior linemen, even the defensive ends. But
you got to take care of the offensive line, and you got to get Trey Waynes. And that's the 11th choice, and we want him. And that settles a bookend cornerbacks.
Yeah.
And, God, you got to do something that really counts. We don't have a left guard yet. Period.
No. There are some veterans out there like Dan Connolly. Remember him?
Yeah.
Why not bring him in to play left guard?
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea.
Supposedly, the Philadelphia Eagles want to move Evan Mathis. Why not make a trade for him? He's a beast.
Oh, he's a player. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all those things, I'm wide open to that. I prefer a veteran player to step in at left guard.
Yep.
Instead of trying to hope and pray that a rookie comes in, can play offensive line with the other two that have been there for a long time.
Especially when you have the left guard of the future taken in the fifth round last year, is what the Minnesota Vikings are hoping anyway from Stanford, David Yankee.
Something's going to happen with him, too. I hope he turns out okay. I mean, he'll have great depth if Yankee turns out to be anything like what they thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I think Mel Kiper's latest mock draft has the Vikings taking Leal Call.
Oh, from LSU. Alabama. The tag from LSU.
Yeah, LSU.
Okay, that's right.
Question two. Monday, the Timberwolves shut down Pekovic for the rest of the year. We're here at Target Center, obviously. I don't know if you've looked around at all. We're waiting for the Wolves to host the Tampa Bay the Toronto Raptors. Mm. KG practiced this morning. That hasn't happened in a long time. Kevin Martin questionable. Rubio probably will not play. Wow. There's nothing really to win or gain by playing these guys, but everything to lose really if they end up winning games and their chances for the top pick in the NBA draft diminish. Why not put them all down? Seriously, let the guys in the money finish out the season, or is it just flip to worry about people accusing them of
sneaking?
Yeah, but Kevin Martin said that possibly the night are in the practice.
So, for me, you got to put those guys in there and let them go play.
I don't know. Question
Garnett's perfectly capable of playing for 20 minutes. That's not going to necessarily win a game.
You talk a lot, so we're running out of time. Question
three. Haircut freak.
The Wild, hottest team in the NHL, is their recently power ranking poll. Number one team in the NHL in their recent power ranking poll. Not only are the Wild red hot heading into the playoffs, they're also getting healthy. Coach Mike Yeo talked about after morning skate yesterday about having so many players on the ice during practice, the ice is getting destroyed quicker. He also said the top three lines will not change despite the return of the infirm. Is getting everyone back on the ice a good thing for added depth or a bad thing because the Wild really have found themselves without the likes of Spurgeon, Cook, and Carter?
I don't think you can have enough bodies going into the playoffs. I don't think you can have enough bodies, healthy bodies. I think it's great that they're coming back. I think we need all hands on deck. I think that, you know, we got the Rangers tomorrow night, right?
Yep.
So it's onward and upward. It doesn't take very long for one or two or three guys to end up on the skids again. I mean, you can get hurt pretty easily in hockey. We know that. I mean, it happens every year. So, I mean, it's good to have everyone available right now at the end of the season when we need them most.
Okay, question four. Last week, rumors that Tennessee was interested in Gopher men's basketball coach Richard Pitino. Before that, St. John's.
Take him. Shoot, who cares?
And as of yesterday, Alabama now is the newest name. According to multiple reports, Alabama pursuing Wichita State coach Greg Marshall as its first choice, but Pitino is a close second. Heading into his third year, six-year contract, paying him $1.2 million annually to coach the Gophers. He has a buyout of $1.5 million. 43-28 overall record, 14-22 though in the Big Ten in two seasons with the Gophers. He's been linked to job openings in the offseason, every offseason since he's taken the job. What will it take for the rumors to stop and for other schools to look at the U and think Gopher coaches are ripe for the picking? Because the same thing happens with Jerry Kill every offseason.
Well, I think they make the rounds. I think that every school that's looking for a coach tries to find an up-and-coming program, tries to find a coach with the right price tag, willing to come in with a nice substantial boost. Buy out whatever, $1.5 million in this case with Pitino. Who wouldn't? That's the way of the world in college basketball, college football. I mean, that's just I think that probably the one thing that probably doesn't help Pitino much, that it'll maybe stop him in his tracks, is you got to be able to get him a little further, and that should be enough in itself. I don't know why they're really looking at him.
Because of the name, and he's young.
Well,
but
you really think they're buying a name?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there were three Shula coaches, two of them after Don. Mm-hmm. His two sons tried to coach and didn't do anything with Cincinnati and Cleveland.
Yep.
They were nowhere to be found. It doesn't mean anything. I don't think it does. I mean, some of the philosophy, I'm sure they get a lot of help from the old man, and they've grown up with the system. Yeah, I don't know. I think that he's got to do a lot better before he decides to move on. I really do. This is the way I feel about it.
No, I completely agree. But teams with much more money in their programs and practice facilities and this and that, which the university doesn't have, but nor would Teague, the athletic director, is trying to push through here and get donations and this and that. Until that happens, I mean, our coaches are going to be ripe for the picking, in my opinion. Everybody's going to go after them all the time, which makes no sense to me. We're a Big Ten school. We're in a metropolitan, the cleanest, nicest metropolitan
easily
city when
Northwestern,
it comes to
Northwestern near Chicago, but cleanest. Certainly would be that's us.
Yeah. It's a great public university. I want to say there are more students, more people on this campus than any other campus around the United States.
That's the case. I think you're
America.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense to me in the future anyway. Half question because we got to take a break. going to be joined by Jim Lundeen, who's in charge of North Lakes Brewing and Killebrew Root Beer. Give me a one-word answer on the beverage that you're drinking right now. Killebrew Root Beer.
I'll go with memories. Memories. Killebrew and I go way back. I actually had a fond memory of Harmon Killebrew that I like to share from time to time. Drinking Killebrew Root Beer brings me back to that, and I'll just say memories. The late, great Harmon Killebrew. The root beer is as good as the player was. So, come on back. That's how we're going to roll. And, so we're going to get in the I don't know if you should have done one of those things. I'm sitting forward right now, too, but we'll bet that works.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities. On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Why Anaheim is the one team I wouldn't want to be playing if I'm the Minnesota Wild. They have goaltending, and they're just flat-out jerks. They're mean, and they're hard to play against, and I think that is a factor. Yes, you can win from game to game, but can you outlast a seven-game series?
On the Ice, hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Wow.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Come on, Mike Morris. Let's go. Let's go. It's all season.
I got a strained oblique. I can't go.
You have a strained oblique. You can't. You're going to need to take 4 or 5 days off and be on the DL.
I've got a strained oblique and I can't go.
Cheers. Because we've got the greatest guest of all time.
Here's to North Lake Underground Lager and Old Fashioned Killebrew Root Beer.
Mm, so good.
Do you say root beer or root beer?
Root beer.
Okay.
What do you say?
Root beer.
Yeah, supposed to be root beer.
You don't know what you're talking about.
So.
All right.
Joined by Jim Lundeen, by the way.
Jim Lundeen,
owner. RGA Enterprises. He's responsible for employing lots of local Minnesotans up in Ramsey. And my favorite North Lake Brewing.
There you go.
Killebrew root beer.
I love that, man.
No, I'm saying root beer.
See, I got you messed up.
Jim, you own Killebrew Root Beer, so is it root beer or root beer?
I call it root beer.
Root beer.
Thank you, Jim.
It's root beer, pretty sure.
You've lost your mind. I don't know what you're talking about.
Why is it called root beer? Is it made from roots?
I think it is.
Really?
Back in the day, yes. I have no idea which root, but...
I'd say probably the ones that grow under the ground.
Probably.
That's just me.
Very good. Very good. Like ginger root. Perhaps. Jim, what's been going on?
Well, it's been, it's like 75 degrees out. I mean, it's a perfect day. The wind's a little tough. But,
yeah.
Not complaining. There's no snow, no sleet.
That's right. If you're punting with the wind, it's a good thing.
I've done that. The first thing you do when you come out of the hotel to go down to the ballpark and play a football game, if you're a long snapper, is you walk outside and try and find flags that are blowing downtown. You try and find out if it's really windy or not, side wind, whatever the case, or if it's really gusty. Oh, there's nothing worse than a huge side gusting wind to throw off a long snap.
Well, it's a blowing out there today. There's actually dust blowing across the highways, and it's Minnesota at its best.
Yeah, I can't remember. I want to say it was between Lake Crystal and Medelia down on Highway 60 down there in southern Minnesota. I have a friend that lives down there. My family's from down in that area. They shut down part of the road because the wind was blowing so hard, and the dust from the fields made it blizzard-like conditions almost. You couldn't see anything. So, yeah, it's insane. Jim Lundeen, I love your beverages.
Well,
Killebrew Root Beer and North Lakes Brewing. And, of course, you have to be excited for baseball season to start both at Target Field and the new CHS Stadium for the St. Paul Saints. You have North Lakes Brewing and Killebrew Root Beer in both.
Yes, we do. We're excited about that. It's going to be a banner summer. Banner summer.
I'll bet it is.
Have you been to the new CHS Field in Lordstown?
I have. I had a tour with Mike Vec last November, and the seats and stuff weren't in, but we got a good idea where the Killebrew seats were and where the placement of North Lake would be. And then Derek Scherer, who's the president, GM, I'm not sure of his title, but good guy.
Great guy.
And we took a tour with him maybe a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and it's an amazing facility.
Yeah, was that the same day that they had the open house, or was that
before or
after?
This was a little solo action going on.
And, look at you, big timer.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
it's gorgeous, though, seriously.
It is.
I was there a couple weeks ago, too, and got a tour of the inside, the outside, up and down, all levels down at the clubhouse and this and that, and the seats were in there, and they're all gray seats, but randomly yellow seats in there, which is interesting. The ceiling had what looks like rich mahogany. I'm not sure what in the concourse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what kind of wood that is. That's absolutely beautiful. It's a one of a kind great area of St. Paul too, Lower Town, and the ticket. And I am going to be doing on Saturday home games, pregame shows from I want to say 5 to 6:45 before
Lucky.
They play home games on Saturday night. But it is awesome.
I had heard you're going to be doing some broadcasting or some work down there, and I'm thinking, God. To be able to sit in that brand new broadcast booth.
It's a tough life I have.
And compare that to the one at Midway Stadium.
There was no room for me in Midway.
I'm telling you, I went down there. I talked with Derek Shara that you just mentioned. And I was supposed to walk in, talk with Mike Beck, who was busy that day anyway. So it was just me and Shara talking. But he was literally picking out the different floor materials and doorknobs. Mm-hmm. Doorknobs for the new stadium. He goes, Mike, you got to do everything. When you build a new stadium, you got to pick everything out. I've got to do cabinets. I still have to do handles for the cabinets, doorknobs, and the kinds of locks that we want on the door. I'm like, oh my God, there really is a lot to this thing. But he goes, it's going to be beautiful, though. I said, you're in charge of all that, though. Yeah, I'm picking out the floor. Okay, don't mess it up then.
It's glorious.
It's a glorious.
It must be. I've been told the weight room is
for it, Ben.
The weight room is incredible too.
The weight room,
huh?
Yeah. The weight room's awesome. They have batting cages down underneath. It's funny because then the visitors' locker room is just nothing. It almost looks like the old stadium at Midway, which even though it's still beautiful, the visitors' clubhouse is still nice.
Yeah.
But compared to the St. Paul Saints clubhouse, which obviously I don't think anybody's ever going to see, but the players, it's completely gorgeous, and the rest of the stadium is the same way. So I'm excited to drink North Lakes beer at every chance I can get when I watch baseball, because there's nothing that goes together than baseball and North Lakes beer and Killebrew root beer.
Well, the difference between Midway and CHS is I don't think there's a lawnmower parked in their clubhouse.
No, there isn't. Yeah, yeah.
They had no storage over at Midway.
It's the real deal.
It is.
They even have. Yeah, I got to tell you a funny story. I think I told the superstar this before, but then we have to take a break. But they have a pig pen. I don't know if you got to see that, but where they hold the pig, because the pig, Madonna, or whoever the pig is the mascot for the St. Paul Saints. And the guy that was building, in charge of construction, said, what's this pig pen thing? What do I do here with this? And they're like, well, we have a pig. He's the mascot for the team, and that's where we'll put him between innings, or where, you know, he or she or whatever, when we're not using the pig, we need a place to put the pig. And so a couple of days later, he comes back and says, these doors out in the outfield are not going to, they're not wide enough. There's no way that they're going to fit a bowl through the doors for the bullpen. Because he had no idea. He's from Egypt. He had no idea that that's where pitchers warmed up before they came into the game. He thought real bowls were going to be in there.
That is funny. That is funny.
But it's
leave it to Vec to get a bowl now.
Yeah.
I mean, he would do that. He'll find a way to reroute the train right past.
Boy, that's the thing.
Somehow, some way, he'll develop the new character of this new stadium.
The next thing is going to be, and they're not going to say train. It's going to be plane, because they're right by, what is it, Holman Field?
Holman Field.
Where the planes take off and land right over CHS Field. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait for the summer. Jim Lindeen, thank you for sponsoring us down here at Hubert's. Thank you for North Lakes Honey Brown Lager and Killebrew Root Beer for the sampling. Free all afternoon here, by the way, at Hubert's until 7 o'clock when the Wolves tip off against the Toronto Raptors. Always a joy to have you on the radio.
Gentlemen,
really
it's a pleasure, and you do a great job. It's fun listening to you while I'm on the road, and it's twice as much fun when I'm here in person. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike's funny to look at. I mean, he's funny looking.
Who do you think is better? Like, who's better on radio, Ben or I?
How about those twins?
Good answer. Great answer.
I love that guy.
Jim Lindeen.
Thanks, Jim.
And by the way, my Harmon Killebrew story, I still love that story. I was hitting home runs, softballs, and I knocked one out, and Harmon grabbed me around the neck. I didn't even know. He was in the dugout. He was watching the thing before the game started.
Yeah.
It was like a home run thing for the canned food drive.
Sure.
And it's Matt Burke and myself and Don Shelby and TC, who, by the way, wanted it again because he can crack the softball.
He's a bear, and they're strong.
And you know, but I hit a good one, and Harmon comes out. I had no idea he was behind me. And I felt this huge arm go around my neck, and he pulled me down in a bear hug. And he goes, you got a hold of that one, didn't you? And I said, first of all, who is this? It's Herman. Herman Killebrew.
Wow.
Told me I hit a home run. Gosh, that was the most proud moment of my entire life. But that's my story. I loved him. He was great. I met him a couple times also in the green room doing some TV. And what a great, he was a class act. But we have another class act waiting in the green room right now. Jerry Zagota, Jay-Z. He's the best in the business, I think. Would you agree?
Yep.
You think he's better than you and I?
Yep.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
How about those twins?
Yeah,
we're going to ask Jerry Zagota, how about those Timberwolves? And we'll bring him in right after this break.
Join the conversation on Twitter at 105 The Ticket.
They're playing basketball.
All around the world.
We are the
There's no question. We played, 12 games with 8 guys. You know, a lot of bad, you know, that's caught up to us. Those guys in there, they're exhausted. You know, I'd like to say that, not using an excuse, it's the reality of the situation.
It has to be. I mean, it has to be. The case is that they must be exhausted. They've literally had to run the court the entire season, those young guys. You have to reinsert some of the older guys sooner or later, whether you wanted to play them or not. But, I mean, these kids have run up and down the hardwood for most of the entire season played here.
But not only that, they're only playing recently with 8 guys.
Yeah. I mean,
it's tough.
It must be grueling night in, night out. Jerry Zagota, the beat writer for the Minnesota Timberwolves and with the Star Tribune. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. How are you guys?
Relatively well. I'm a little overweight.
But you're on a diet, so.
I'm dieting right now. But I don't know what to say about this team. I think they're coming along, and I think they're doing it right. I think the Flip is doing this thing right by giving those guys the reps and pulling the older guys and the Nick guys out of there and getting them off to the side.
Well, it's painful, but I think it'll probably benefit. You know, probably a guy like. LaVine, most of all. I mean, he never would have otherwise gotten to play as much as he's gotten to. You know, even if it's out of position at point guard next year, if they put him back to like a shooting guard, we'll see how, you know, he adapts to that. And I think that would be, you know, a real natural move for him. And this year should be beneficial. And a guy like Wiggins, who, you know, you thought might get a little bit tired towards the end and is kind of putting a last push here to make sure that, I'm sure it's not at the forefront of his mind, but make sure that voters aren't thinking about Nerlens Noel or Nikola Mirotic when they go to vote for Rookie of the Year.
Jerry, they talk about the rookie wall that all these guys hit eventually in the NBA their first season. Wiggins, certainly. LaVine, can you imagine more started any more games than he did at UCLA, finding himself in this much basketball and this many basketball games? I mean, it must be incredible for a kid like that who hasn't been out there as much.
I hope he appreciates it because, you know, it's been a rare opportunity for him, and it's been a painful one. You know, guys like Kevin Martin didn't like, you know, the path they took when Rubio got hurt, that they were going to go committed to playing a lot, you know, with Zach and with Mo Williams, just because he's a rookie and he doesn't know how to find those guys, you know, the veterans. I'm sure even though Mo was a bit of a shooter, would much rather play with a guy who's been in the league 13 years, and it's been a painful process, but you hope that it benefits them, you know, that it makes him grow up faster. And,